Live from Auburn, the sports capital of Alabama, this is The Drive. The Drive with Bill Cameron on ESPN 106.7. And online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502. Or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Hello, everybody. Welcome in to another week, another Monday edition of The Drive. Hope everybody's weekend was good. It was hot. We've gotten a little rain, though, more than a little rain over the last couple of days. But that's about as good as you can hope for when the weather is like it is here at the end of July. As a matter of fact, if you don't like hot weather, don't look at the forecast for the next few days. I think tomorrow There is a heat advisory.
Oh no!
I was watching. Yeah, I think on the news last night I saw that the heat index is supposed to be around 105. Tomorrow, so it's going to be a hot one tomorrow. Hey, the AC is working fine here in the studio, and we are cool and comfortable in here. Bill, Brian Matthews from AuburnSports.com, Drew is at the control. B-Matt, how was your weekend?
It was good. I was in Nashville.
This was the weekend, eh?
Got to see Liverpool play for the first time in person at Geodis Park. They played Sunderland. They won 4-2. It was a really fun match. They had a great time.
Well, that's cool. That's good. Glad you got up there. Weather was nice for you guys, wasn't it?
A little sprinkles before the match. No big deal, you know. And then it was good during the game. And we were lucky. Our seats were underneath the
The overhang.
The overhang. So that was good. But we didn't rain anyway during the game, so we had a fun time.
Oh, that's great. That's great. Glad you had a good weekend. Wasn't anything terribly exciting over the weekend, which is good. But we're getting close. We're just a week away, actually 9 days.
Yes.
Away from the start of Auburn fall football practice.
You're talking about the weather, but fall football, October it's not that far down the road now, right? You know,
right. No, this is the kind of weather we have for the start of football practice.
It usually is, but August moves fast in this area of the country, right? Because we get into fall practice, preseason works, and every day is something new to write about, talk about, and learn about with Auburn football. So I'm looking forward to diving right in for the 26th year of covering the team. I think that's right.
Wow.
Something like that. Maybe it's 27. I'll have to count it up again, but it should be a lot of fun. I think Alex Golish is a breath of fresh air so far. I'm excited to see what this team looks like coming out of camp. I like all the moves he's done so far.
Yeah, there's nothing nothing that I have seen at all of anything he has done or said thus far that hasn't been right on point with what you would hope.
Yeah, and I think he's got the right idea. I think he's going to try to pair that offense with a defense that should be pretty good under DJ Durkin and running the ball and having a big physical quarterback that likes to run the ball and having some big fast receivers that can go down and catch those long passes for big plays. I think that could all come together in a nice way for Auburn.
Well, I mean, just anything to try to get some offense going. I mean, Auburn's offense has been offensive the last few years. I mean, the defense, there's absolutely been nothing wrong with the defense. Auburn's been good enough defensively to have been at least a bowl team, to have won 7 or 8 ball games over the last couple of years.
Very, very much so. Defense has done its job. DJ Durkin is a terrific coach, recruiter, motivator of young men. I think Auburn is very fortunate to have him here and is going to try to keep him as long as possible, of course, as the DC. But, and they should be good again, I feel like. You know, I think the key defensively, they've got, I think, and maybe they're not regarded this way yet, but I think they got the best linebacker core I've seen at Auburn.
Yeah, I agree. I absolutely agree with that.
One of the best, if not the best, in the country. And I think that's going to show up as soon as we get into the season, they start playing. And if that front can hold up, not hit any big injuries, if guys like Jared Smith can step up and, live up to what his potential is and, take a couple of steps forward, that defense could be really, really good.
Oh, absolutely. So, we'll start getting an idea about that next week. Auburn's official report date is next Tuesday.
Yes.
Start of practice is Wednesday. Brian, I guess as you understand it, they're going to be going in the mornings, which makes sense. That's what they did in the spring, and at this time of year with this kind of weather, you can just get more done in the mornings before the ridiculous heat of the day.
Yeah, I think, you know, Hugh Freeze did transition Auburn from afternoons to mornings. It turned out to be a great move, and I'd be surprised if a coach comes in and wants to change that, especially in this area of the country, as you mentioned, because it does get so hot and so humid in the afternoons in July and August, and it just makes a lot of sense to have them out there when it's a little bit cooler. And
gives the players a chance to sort of recover, too.
Yes, yes, and a chance to go over everything that happened in practice mm-hmm. and get some time away and then get back at it the next day.
Yeah, so we'll talk about that, I'm sure. I mean, we'd love for you to join us here on the Monday edition of The Drive. You can call us on The Drive hotline, 334-321-1390. But something we definitely have to get to was what a show put on by young Jackson Koivun over the weekend, going his final 42 holes without going over par.
Incredible.
On any. I mean, 42 straight holes of yeah. of even par or better.
Yep.
as he holds off. I mean, Scottie Scheffler, the number one golfer in the world,
yeah.
You know, makes a run with an 8-under
right.
on Sunday, but Jackson just goes out and shoots a 66.
Yeah.
He goes into Sunday with a 3-stroke lead. He wraps it up with a 3-stroke win and the lowest score ever there.
Incredible.
At the 3M.
His third tournament as a professional. I think I looked, there were... Was it 12 or 13? Maybe more tournaments left this year for him to compete in. I don't know how many of those he'll be in, but
I heard earlier today. I mean, he's getting ready for this weekend already.
Okay, that's great. And I don't want to put too much pressure on the kid, but my goodness, this is exciting. You know, you love to have former Auburn players in whatever sport be great, and you can follow them and. You know, we'll see, but man, it sure is exciting to think about what he could do and what the next several decades could bring, in the golf world for him.
No question. And Jim Nance CBS
yeah.
crew were just gushing
yeah.
Over him yesterday. It was great to hear War Eagle from Jim Nance there
yeah.
as he's in the post-match, wrap-up and everything. But, I mean, Jackson, just cool as could be. Tee shot on 18 wasn't great, but then just – calmly goes ahead and makes the par to wrap up the 42nd straight hole and win it by three. I mean,
yeah, and I'm not like a golf expert, but it seems like he's good at everything.
Yeah,
like he doesn't have the longest drive. Right?
No, he doesn't have the longest drive, but he's usually accurate as can be. And man, what a great putter he is!
Yes.
Chipper and putter.
Yep, just an all around great golfer, and to have the mental toughness it took to go to shoot what you did on Saturday. Then sleep on it, and then go into Sunday and not, really experience much difficulty at all. No bogeys, bogey-free round. I just think that's incredible.
Had a bogey-free weekend.
Yeah.
That is just amazing. In your third major tournament, when you're leading, when you're pushing and leading, he was second after day one, third, tied for third after day two, led, and then the leader after three and all the way through Sunday. So. Yeah. Yeah, just a fantastic performance from Jackson, it's hard to imagine there aren't just great things in his future. Love to hear your thoughts on that. Anything on your mind, sports-wise, here on the Monday edition of The Drive. Brian was on this past Wednesday. SEC Media Days wrapped up Thursday, and then we got the SEC predictions. We talked about them. A little on Friday, the media's predictions for order of finish and for all conference. Any surprises or omissions that you really thought were glaring there in the from
Auburn perspective? Jeremiah Cobb should probably be somewhere on that.
Yeah, he should have been somewhere. Yeah. I mean, there were five running backs listed, five or six running backs listed, and he wasn't.
Right. I mean, he was on all, was he 13 all SEC?
Yeah, he was. Had over 900 yards rushing last year.
So that would be the one thing. But I feel like Auburn is a team that is has the potential to have a lot more all SEC postseason players in preseason.
I agree.
When you go through five straight losing seasons, you got a new coach. You're just not going to get a whole lot of respect going into the season. They were picked 12th which coincides to having a losing record, you know.
Sure. I mean, having losing records for the last 5 years. Right. I mean, that's something, you know, I was talking about Thursday before, ahead of the projections, because I, you know, heard some people saying, man, there's a real positive buzz about Auburn down in Tampa. I said, yeah, maybe so, but the media is still not going to buy into it completely. Right. Because of what's happened the last few years. We've heard good things at times over the last 5 years. I mean, talking the talk is one thing, you know, and Auburn's got to prove it now. And this doesn't mean that Alex Golish isn't or can't by any means. But, I mean, I think it's just something that when you've seen this happen for a few years, you're going to be a little more cautious before you jump in there with both feet and say, yeah, they're back, which I think is interesting when I compare Auburn and Florida. I look at Florida's situation and Auburn's situation. People say it's funny. Maybe it was because it was Tampa, and that's the school, and Florida's the SEC school closest to them. But I got the feeling that the people down there were more excited about Florida's quarterback situation with a quarterback who started one game
right.
in his college career than they are about Auburn's quarterback situation, because Auburn's quarterbacks have struggled the last few years.
Yeah. Yeah, I picked that up too, and certainly part of it might be being in Tampa, but still, it is interesting. And you know, if you look at the quarterback situation, there's Georgia, there's Texas, and Ole Miss, of course, has a great one. And
Trinidad Chambliss is your preseason all-conference quarterback.
And then I think after that, it's mostly just we'll see who steps up and can take the reins and you know, be the next guy in that pecking order.
Yeah, I mean, Aaron Filo is a guy that started one game. It was against Gardner Webb. Of course, he's coming with his coordinator. But, yeah, so is Bryce Brown and his head coach.
Right.
And most of his receivers.
Exactly.
So we will see. But anyway, we'll talk more about SEC Media Days. Love to hear from you on the Monday edition of The Drive. Bill and Brian here with you. Again, 334-321-1390. That's the Drive hotline sponsored by Skybar. We'll get to our first break of the afternoon. Come on in and join us here on the Monday Drive.
The Drive with Bill Cameron. Bill Cameron on ESPN 106.7 and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email thedrive@ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into the Monday Drive. Bill and Brian Matthews from AuburnSports.com here in the studio. Drew at the controls. Summer. It's crazy to think. I mean, here we are. You know, we're into the last week of July, and it's not like the hot weather's anywhere near gone. But summer really is about over. I mean, school's going to be getting back in session. I mean, the city schools will get started before. I mean, my goodness, they're just about to get started. Football practice getting started all over the place. I mean, Auburn's going to get started next Wednesday. I would guess we were looking last week. There aren't any SEC games in week zero. So I would guess just about everybody's getting started at the same time. I think there may be a Thursday night game before the first Saturday when Auburn plays. So, but I wouldn't think anybody, probably nobody getting started until Monday or so, but just about everybody in the SEC will get started practice this coming Monday.
And I believe there's an NFL football game on this weekend. Is that right? Like a preseason type game or something?
Yeah, I mean, it's usually have the Hall of...
Yeah, there's the last Sunday until like February that we don't have.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. So, I mean, there will be. You usually go from Baseball Hall of Fame to the NFL Hall of Fame game and that type thing. And
here we go. Right?
Week
zero is not looking that great. You got North Carolina, TCU.
There's a few ACC teams.
Virginia.
And maybe a couple of ACC. Yeah, I was going to say ACC games.
Stanford,
it's crazy to have a conference game in week zero because, you said NC State, Virginia, and wasn't there
TCU, North Carolina, USC, San Jose State.
Yeah, so, I mean, there's some games.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, nothing really
Florida
nothing
State
really
New
exciting.
Mexico State is a night game. I guess they're putting on ESPN. I just don't. That doesn't do much.
There's a couple of Friday night games, too, that week zero. But yeah, I mean, so it won't be long. And
Now, Thursday night, Colorado at Georgia Tech could be interesting. Or yeah. Georgia Tech might just kill him. I don't know.
Yeah, you just wonder what Prime's going to have, you know, this year. So, yeah, I don't know. I mean, but yeah, it'll just be good to have some games.
Yes.
And hopefully, as we head in and practice gets started next week, man, hopefully we have similar opportunities to what we had this spring.
It's looking like it. You know, I don't know the exact schedule yet. That'll come out next week. But I think it's going to be very, very similar. I do think one little change, we might get assistants, you know, more spread out at different times.
Which would be good. I mean, sometimes,
right.
I mean, when we go in there and it's all the assistants.
At one time.
You miss yeah. some of them.
It's really hard to do that. Yeah.
I mean, if you have multiple people, you right. know, working for your, you know, yeah. for your outlet or whatever, you can do it. But still, it's great when you get a chance to hear what everybody
Everything.
Has to say.
Right.
So, I think that's a really good idea. And I like what you were saying is looks like it could be an assistant and some of his room, some of his yeah. players
yeah.
with him.
Which makes a lot of sense if you're going to write about what he says and about what the players say about it. You know,
yeah.
it just kind of ties everything together. So
again,
we'll see exactly what we get.
Yeah, but again, everything Alex Golish has done has made a lot of sense.
It really has.
I mean, it really sometimes
has, yeah.
just go, gee, why didn't somebody else think of that?
The one thing, and I don't know our viewing period, but I would really like to see some, you know, once they go into pads, some actual, you know, ones against ones and some, you know, physical play, you know, maybe mm-hmm. pass rush drill, a one-on-one receiver, cornerback drill, maybe some inside stuff, you know, football. I'd really like to see that.
Yeah.
So
well, I mean, it's not – now, the thing is, it's not that they don't do any of that.
No.
It's just we haven't seen it off a lot.
Usually it's the first 20 or 30 minutes.
Yeah, we
got
to get a chance to see
them.
They
don't do a lot of that
no.
during that time. Yeah.
No, but I mean, I didn't want anybody to have the impression that Auburn is, you know, not being physical or anything.
No, I think I would imagine that this is going to be a much more physical preseason they've had in several years.
That's the indication that Alex
yeah.
Golish made
yeah.
when he was down in Tampa. I mean, I think they want to find out who's ready to help them now.
Well, you can go back to the spring, how different it was, how Alex welcomed the defense to get after him right away instead of trying to limit the defense, you know, so they could
mm-hmm.
work on different things offensively. Or
oh, yeah, what a difference is. Not,
yeah.
not don't want to hurt the quarterback's feelings
right.
So he'd lose his confidence.
Right, and that was definitely not the case last spring, and I don't think that'll be the case for the start of, you know, preseason practice. Now, once they get, you know, 2.5 weeks in, whenever they
I would imagine this
right.
is hands off, then
right.
you know, you're not going to be messing with our quarterbacks.
You're splitting up the scout team.
Right.
You're working a lot on your own side, and you're doing some team stuff, but not quite as much because you're getting ready to face an opponent then and not trying to decide who is going
right.
to be
you're
the number two.
Putting in
right.
a game plan, and you should have an idea, or they hope they have an idea, you know, who's in the playing rotation.
Right.
But yeah, I mean, I think you could tell from the comments of Byron Brown and Alex Golish that they appreciated having to go through that this spring by DJ Durkin coming after them. I mean, I think Byron Brown will be much better prepared for the start of the season,
definitely.
Having had to go against, you know, everything DJ Durkin could throw at him
definitely.
In the spring and then coming up here in the fall.
And, you know, that entirely new offensive line, that's a great way for them to prepare because that's the type of defenses and the type of stuff they're going to face all season long.
That's right,
in the SEC.
In this league.
Yeah, so DJ needs to continue to do that and get them ready for it because, you know, if you're looking at areas that you're concerned about for this team, it's the line of scrimmage, number one, and then, you know, we'll see how the cornerback situation shakes out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, some people are a little more concerned than I am about it. But
I feel pretty good about Auburn's starter. I feel pretty good about their first three or four. I just don't know exactly how everything's going to shake out. But,
mm-hmm.
I mean, I think Rashawn Pleasant and Andre Jordan are a couple of guys that you feel more than okay about. It's just you need more than that.
Right. Right. And we'll see who can step up and be those depth pieces they are, who can push maybe for a number one spot.
And then, to the offensive line, I guess, you know, the first thing is, you know, Stanton Ramil, is he going to be able to be healthy and
yep.
stay healthy and be the left tackle that he looks like he could be?
I think that's probably the three most important questions for the preseason, like when it comes to a personnel
yeah.
spot, right? Is that left tackle position? It's really hurt Auburn over the last decade or so, in my opinion. And, you know, Stanton's a great kid, but he has had some injuries in his career. And having him healthy and ready to go and being good enough to nail down that spot would really be a boost for this Auburn team.
Oh, I think it'd make the really solidify the offensive line. Then you got Joe Simmons, who slides over to the right spot, and you've already got Cole Best anchoring the middle. And you've got plenty of candidates there at guard. So, I mean, that's without question. I mean, the offensive line is the biggest question, but it's all about left tackle. And can they get that answered?
And maybe Wilson Zaire is going to be a special player. I don't know.
Boy, I mean, he sure was a guy that came on quickly.
Yes.
And we saw him, I mean, early on. I mean, by the second week of practice, he was out there working with the ones some.
So maybe there's a guy like him that just steps in there and is just really, really good and really advanced and is ready to compete right away. So I'm not closing the door on anything, because you've even got guys like Jacob Strand, who's played, four or five years of football already. What's he going to look like after, an offseason and, some experience? And they got a few guys like that. They just don't know what they're going to look like. Maybe they were second or third team maybe in the spring, but maybe they can step up.
Yeah, there were a couple of guys that were banged up a little bit too. I mean, you never know, because, I mean, I don't know that we expected to see Derek Plaz step up the way he did in the spring.
Right. And if you look at him, he looks like he's ready to be a starter. He's got that type of physique to him. Looks like an offensive guard that's going to push some dudes and make them run.
And that's the main thing that Auburn has to do right now, is they've got to be able to win those battles at the line of scrimmage to run block. I mean, it's great when you have a quarterback like Byron Brown, that can buy you a little that helps you out a little bit there on the offensive line. You don't have to be as good. Of course, it's great if you are. But, I mean, when you've got a quarterback that can move like that, but Auburn's got to be able to run the ball. I mean, the offense is predicated on Auburn running the ball.
Yeah, Cole Best and those two guards have got to be on it, right? They've got to be physical. They've got to create some space, and they've got to, open up that. They've got to make people fear that running game so they respect the rest of the game.
Back to back to media days. All right, looking back at it, was the – I asked you about the all-conference thing. I don't think it was any surprise that Auburn was picked where they were. Were you surprised at any of the projections? I mean, I think everybody expected it to be Georgia, Texas, or Texas, Georgia at the top of the voting for the to play in the title game. But after that, I was a little surprised that Ole Miss was picked third. I guess it's because of Trinidad Chambliss mainly.
Yeah, I think Trinidad is a pretty special.
Oh, he is a special
quarterback,
player.
And I can understand that. I really can.
I was a little, but I thought LSU might be picked a little. Where was LSU? Fifth.
They were picked fifth. Yes.
Yes. I thought they'd be picked a little higher than that.
Yep.
Just because of the talent that Lane brought in, through the transfer portal.
You know, the ones that intrigue me, I guess, that are farther down. Tennessee at eight. You know, that's a team that's got more of a veteran head coach now. I think they've got quarterback maybe figured out for this year a little bit. So maybe they're a team that steps up.
When was
up
the last time Alabama's been picked this low? Of course, I mean, there haven't been 16 teams in the league, but a couple of years. But this is as low. I mean, 6 out of 16, that would still be.
You expect them to be a favorite, a co-favorite every single year.
In the top three.
Right.
You expect them to be in the top three for sure.
Oklahoma's right behind them at 7. You know, if they can keep their quarterback healthy.
Yeah, if John – I mean, I didn't realize how bad John Mateer's thumb was last year. I mean, for him to say he couldn't even grip the football, after the Auburn game, and they still made the playoffs.
And that defense is going to be really good.
Yep.
So we'll see there. And I wonder about Alabama. I mean, they took about as bad as a whipping that a team can take in a playoff. That's their last game.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't, blow me away with their recruiting or their portaling. I know they got some good players, but I just wonder, and we'll see.
They're going to have to be able to. I was talking about Auburn. They're going to have to be able to run the ball some.
Right.
They could not run the ball last year.
Right. And, that's a situation if it gets off to a slow start, buddy. You're going to hear it.
Well, you're absolutely going to hear it. I mean, I know Auburn fans aren't happy at being picked 12th. Alabama fans absolutely aren't happy at being picked 6th.
Right.
I mean, that would be a bad year for football in the state of Alabama if neither team finishes higher than they're picked.
And I'm not convinced LSU is just suddenly a big.
No, I'm not either, but I thought they'd be picked a little higher. Yeah. just we'll because see. Just because of Lane. Maybe they weren't just because of Lane, because there's some there's some people that want him to meet his comeuppance.
AMN up fourth is interesting. I think they're certainly a dark horse.
Right? They're a very talented team. Marcel Reed's a really good quarterback too, and you know they're going to play defense too.
Yep. So that's one to watch, and we'll see. Vanderbilt is 13th.
Just don't know. I mean, how much of their team was Pavia last year?
Well, they may start a true freshman quarterback, but he is a five-star that was committed to Georgia until the day before signing.
I know, but still, a five-star, but a freshman quarterback starting in this league is, usually that's good for a few losses. The SEC, first of all, the media has done a terrible job of predicting over the years.
That's very true.
That doesn't mean anything the way the predictions
Although
were.
Although, if it's not Georgia or Texas, I will be surprised.
Yeah, I will be too.
Yeah, that means one of those programs is upset and
very well could happen. I mean, see, look, last year, Texas and Georgia were picked 1-2 in the league.
Yep.
And Georgia won.
Yep.
So everybody who picked Texas was wrong. So it could be something like that this year. It could be Georgia and Texas playing in Atlanta and Texas wins.
Yeah.
But there will be, and you know it, every year there is a team or two that does much better than anyone expected. Yeah. Vandy was a team last year. Yeah.
It's been a while since Auburn's been that team.
You're right.
They're due.
South Carolina was a team a lot of people liked last year, and they really flopped.
They did. They really did.
So, I mean, there's going to be a team or two that really disappoints, and there will be a team or two that really surprises. That's the way it is.
Florida 9, I don't think they're that much better than Auburn.
I don't either. That's what I was saying. I think they're very similar. And that the first SEC game, that Saturday night game in Jordan-Hare Stadium.
That's so big.
It is huge for Auburn. If Auburn loses that one, it's going to be tough to have that big step forward kind of year that you want. Yep. But, I mean, Florida is coming in. It is their first road game. It will be the first road start for Aaron Filo. And it's Saturday night at Jordan-Hare. I mean, everything should point toward Auburn.
And, even if Jordan-Hare has not been the place of a lot of upsets or a lot of success here recently, it's still Jordan-Hare Stadium.
That's right.
All they've been waiting on is just the right coach and the right players to come in there and start getting the job done. So we'll see if that's going to happen this year. But the difference between 9th and 12th can be really, really important.
Oh, absolutely. Look, I mean, the 9th place team in the league last year was Missouri. Auburn has a year like Missouri did last year. You're feeling pretty darn good. You have established
actually,
that identity.
Tennessee.
Oh, is it Tennessee?
Yep.
Wow.
They won 8 games and went 4-4 in the league.
Yeah. So I mean, so you finish ninth. You're going to be
Missouri was 8.
You're going to be a bowl team. You're definitely a bowl team, and you probably won 8 games. Got a chance to win 9 if you win your bowl game.
So Florida at 9, Auburn 12. If you flip that, that makes a big difference.
Oh, absolutely it does.
And that's why that game against Florida is so important later in September.
Yeah, it wouldn't be as painful a loss or as critical a loss for Florida on the road as it would be for Auburn at home. But if Auburn loses that one, Brian, my goodness.
It's tough.
It has really, really been tough for Auburn to win big ball games at home.
It really has.
Over the last few years.
And is that the only night game at home, or is that the last?
I think the other ones, there may be a possibility, but I think it's those either or.
Yeah, that's right.
That is the only set night conference game that we know.
That needs to be a big game, and Auburn needs to go out there and play well, and they need to win that game.
No doubt. 334-321-1390. We'll get to our bottom of the hour break. Love to hear from you. Any thoughts from, media days as we head toward the start of fall practice? Anything you want to talk about sports-wise here on the Monday Drive.
390. Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email thedrive@espnau.com.
Welcome back into the Monday Drive. Bill, Brian Matthews from AuburnSports.com here in the studio. Drew at the controls. B-Matt, what's going on over at AuburnSports.com?
Well, we're just rolling out different stories. I mean, it's just very unique stuff, in my opinion. I do some of it, but, Cole and everybody else. Cole had a great story today about how Auburn is planning to buck an offensive trend, talking about adding more pace to the offense, and how, even going back to just SEC media days last week, where some of those coaches were talking about how, you know, most teams were moving away from that. And, you know, it's getting a lot slower. And then Auburn's going in the opposite direction here. And how is that going to work out? So I thought that was really interesting. Got an update on the basketball schedule there. J.G. Tate's doing his top 30 countdown. We're down to Alex McPherson now. I have my Monday musings, which we'll talk about later, of course. And then,
oh, yeah, absolutely.
A lot of recruiting info on 2028. You know, Auburn's got 27 commitments. And, you know, they're not done there, right? There's going to be some ups and downs.
Right.
There'll be some additions.
There'll be some attrition. There'll be some addition.
But they're putting in a lot of work on 2028 now, too, and I think you're going to see some of those guys start popping, including
quarterback
Sam Soley from Gadsden City, I believe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is.
Strong-arm kid.
Yeah, good size, 6'3", 190, 195 already.
Yep, Auburn, Alabama, Florida State, Mississippi State,
Clemson.
Tennessee. Yep, so and I think Auburn is the team to beat there. I think he's announcing August 8th. So that is
that's
one
a week
keep,
from Friday.
Yeah,
no, that's a week from Saturday.
I wanted to keep a close eye on there. And it's always important, and this is something Auburn has struggled with before now, but to get that quarterback early in the class and start building that class around that quarterback is going to be so, so big. And that would be a huge start for Auburn, getting an in-state kid, getting a quarterback to kind of get things going in that 2028 class.
Yeah, so there's no question that the recruiting has been – it's been amazing. It's really been – I mean, considering, as Alex Golder said, there's no proof of concept yet.
Yep.
What they've been able to reel in, and they're really working. So, and you're right. I think just about every projection I've seen has Auburn projected to get the quarterback from Gadsden City.
Yeah.
And
that would be number one commit for 2028. So that would be a big start.
That's a good way to start. Yep. I mean, usually if you can get that quarterback like that, then you count on him being able to help you reel in a lot of players around him.
Yes, absolutely. And just a big kid, nice size. I think he's got some running ability along with a really strong arm, and just a guy I think you can get into your program for several years and sort of build up and not expect, you know, hey, I'm a five-star top three quarterback in the country. I have to start or I'm going to transfer out. I don't think he's going to be one of those type kids. So I think that's another thing that we're seeing is them trying to sign quarterbacks so they can develop into starters and not have to pay, you know, $2 million plus just to get them on campus, right, and see what happens.
Well, I think that's one thing that you have seen from Alex Golish and his philosophy is they don't want to overpay up front.
Right.
I mean, you've seen that. I mean, look, Auburn's got the experience. I mean, you bring in a Deuce Knight and you pay him, and then after a year, he's gone before he gets a chance to really help you.
Had a great game against whoever that was. I don't remember.
Yeah, right. Who was it? Yeah, you're right.
Was it six touchdowns he scored?
Yeah, he did have a great game.
It was crazy. I mean, it was a great game, but you invested all that money into him thinking he was going to be a starter and be here for 3 or 4 years, and he's already gone. So it's just not a very good return on investment, not a very good – and that's going to happen everywhere. You're going to lose kids like that. You know, it's unavoidable. But if you're smarter about it, you can have
– Try to budget a little bit better and have money in case – in case those players get better so you can afford to retain them.
You just don't
because
want
that's right. The other thing. Retention is the next thing.
Yeah.
You first try to go out and get them, then you need to try to keep them if they're any good.
Yep, exactly. So I think they've got the right idea with the way they're recruiting right now, and we'll see. We'll see how that translates into wins and championships and competing for championships over the next several years.
334-321-1390. Other thing, you were talking about Cole's story about Auburn's tempo and everything. I thought it was interesting. Alex Golish brought up a good point when he was asked about, you know, running that and how it affects his own defense. I thought it was it made a lot of sense when he said, well, DJ Durkin's practicing against it every day, then they're ready for it when they go against it anytime this fall. And it's easier to slow down than it is to try to speed up. And he's absolutely right about that. If you're practicing against a slower offense and playing against slower offenses, when you go out there and play against an offense that does go pace, it's much more difficult.
It is. And the thing that a lot of teams now do, well, they will switch up gears, right? They'll speed up, slow down, speed up, slow down, try to catch defenses off guard with that. And it does help when you're prepared for it.
So if you're ready for pace, I would think that that should be an advantage. So,
and this team has prepared for that. They prepare in the spring. They prepare during winter workouts, summer workouts. They will be in shape to run this offense and to handle going against Pace defensively.
Yeah, so looking forward to that. And right now, it looks like Auburn's going into fall in pretty darn good shape physically. I mean, look, yes, things can happen. You see people, blow out knees and things like that just going out through the first day of practice before their pads. Yeah. But
you hope that doesn't happen.
Yeah, but Auburn's in good shape physically.
There's one player out, that's Devin Williams, who underwent knee surgery, not expecting him to play this season.
Tough for him. That'll be two straight years.
But other than that, everybody's healthy. They're going to be careful with some guys come back from shoulders, like Stanton Ramil. I think it was a shoulder with him, but whatever. But for the most part, everybody is good.
Well,
that'd
be like
go.
DeMarcus, right?
Who?
Riddick.
Yeah. DeMarcus is definitely shoulder coming back from. So just a few guys there, but I think they feel really good about the health of this team, what kind of shape they're in, and everything that's gone into summer workouts.
Yeah, so, really, really excited about this. And again, yes, looking forward to seeing practice starting next week.
Yeah.
And, again, expecting it to be in the mornings, which would make a lot of sense. So can't wait to get out there and check things out and get you ready for the start of the season. I know you've got some questions, thoughts, comments about football heading into fall practice. Anything else you want to talk about sports-wise, though, if you want to comment on the Jackson Coivin show over the weekend. Let's see, baseball, I think they looks like they're pretty well set with their roster after adding. Did we talk about the righty they added last week? I don't know that we did when you were on Wednesday. I mean, they'd added the right-hander, I think, from Baylor.
Yes. I don't know that we talked about him much at all that I remember. But they did, and that was the ninth, I think, total.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. The sixth.
I was driving to Tampa at the time that it happened. I think it was on Sunday. So I didn't, JG had the story for it. But that was another nice pickup there. A guy who's probably going to come in like the other guys before him and strengthen that bullpen. They've really put a lot of six pitchers, and I think five of them are definitely bullpen guys and more guys in either or probably. But they've really put a lot of emphasis on that. And they got several lefties too, which is important.
Yeah. We'll see how things go. I mean, I know the young man from Baylor was, rated the top pitching prospect in Texas coming out of high school.
Yeah.
That's not insignificant. Usually
he throws upper 90s, a very talented kid, and, has a chance to be a very special, bullpen guy for Auburn, coming up. And he's been having a good, Cape so far this summer. So,
well, that's good.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. We'll get to our final break of hour number one. We can talk a little basketball as well as Auburn getting ready to head to Greece before long. We'll talk about that. And anything you'd like to talk about, though, again, love to hear from you. 334-321-1390. Come on in here on the Monday Drive.
War Eagle, this is Coach ESPN 106.7 and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of the drive, call 334-321-1390, toll free at 888-382-7502, or email the drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into the drive, final segment of hour number one here on this Monday. Bill, Brian Matthews here in the studio with Drew at the controls, and we were talking about Bradley Bergman, the transfer from Baylor. I knew it was bees.
Yes. But, he is having a terrific time up the Cape this summer. He's got a bunch of appearances. He's got some innings under him. He's gone 20 innings so far. He's 1-0, 3.60 ERA, and 25 strikeouts. So that's what you want to see.
Yeah, as you said, he's throwing gas. I mean, he's a guy that throws upper 90s, has a chance. I mean, his problem, I think he's averaged right at a strikeout an inning in his college career. It's just been, control.
Right, yeah. He does have 11 walks, so that's something they're going to have to work on, of course. He is 6'1", 214, so he's put together pretty well for a baseball pitcher too. So, the thing that Auburn – worked on the most, and it translated terrifically, was filling up the strike zone.
Talked
about that the entire fall, last fall, the entire preseason, going into the season, and it was spectacular how well Auburn did as far as throwing strikes and filling up the strike zones and getting strikes out, strikeouts, not walking batters, hitting batters. So even the guys you see coming in with the higher number of walks, you know that is going to be an emphasis, and you know they've scouted these guys and think they can focus on a few things to clean that up a little bit.
I mean, yeah, as you said, I mean, you look at the Auburn's strikeout to walk ratio this past year, walks to innings pitch ratio. I mean, Auburn was among the best in the nation.
Yep.
At that, and you would expect. I mean, they've got the analytics. They know. They really know what they're doing. I like the additions thus far. I mean, you see where they lost players, they went out and they were able to target and go get players to fill in those areas.
Yeah.
And I mean, this is a team. I'm about as excited as I've been about any Auburn baseball team.
Yeah.
That I can recall with all the, you know, the talent that's returning for next year.
Well, you know, this pitching staff was deep last year, right?
Yes.
But it's going to be deeper this year with the
mm-hmm.
guys they brought in. And then, you know, Kristen Chatterton, who struggled a little bit getting consistent and being a part of this, really has stepped up so far in the summer at the Cape. I think he's pitched for two different teams, Chatham. Oh, he's pitched for Chatham in the Cape. He's 2-1, a 3.9 ERA, 24 strikeouts, 8 walks, and 13.2 innings. So he is pitching much better up there. He's getting a lot of work. And, you know, he's a guy I kind of thought after the season that, you know, might be looking to transfer.
Yeah,
out.
I wondered too. I mean, because you wondered what his role was
right.
going to be
well,
for this
I mean,
coming year.
Because of his changeup, because of his upside, he can come back and be a weekend starter. You know, we don't know what he's going to be, but that's his potential.
Well,
sure.
Yeah, I mean, well, he's a guy that, as a freshman,
was
you know was already he was yeah. already he had the most innings pitched and the most starts and
yep.
everything returning this past year, and then struggled. So I mean, some guys, you know, it's been a while, but I remember the sophomore slump was something.
Yeah.
If you had
yeah.
a really good freshman year.
Yeah.
And, you know, Christian will be looking to bounce back from that. So, yeah, it's great to be able to bring somebody like that back. So, I mean, they have quite a few options there on the pitching staff. And then they added Chef was the last hitter
yeah.
they added. A big guy who could play on the left side of the infield, play short or third, a 6'4". Another right-handed bat.
Yep, and Cooper Schiff, right?
From
UNLV.
Okay, yeah. I was close. I had the first two letters and the last letter right.
A guy that's got a ton of size, a ton of power, probably struck out too much, right? But
mm-hmm.
now you got a new hitting coach.
That's right.
You know, I'm sure he sees something in this guy and feels like, hey, we get him to make more contact, right? He is so big and strong. A lot like, you know, some current players that once he gets a hold of one, it's going a long way. So it's just a matter of getting him more and more contact. So, I feel great about what they've done, but especially the pitching staff and the extra arms they've added. I think that's going to make a huge difference. And, you know, Chatterton's a guy that's coming back that could be special. Griffin Graves is a guy.
Yeah, I was going to say Griffin. I was trying to think. I knew there was somebody else because
yeah.
Griffin's a guy that looked like he was going to be a weekend starter last year before he got hurt.
Might have been the Friday night starter going into mm-hmm. the start of preseason practice before he got that injury. So he has that potential to be an electric arm coming out of the bullpen or potentially being a starter, whether it's on the weekend or midweek. So you've got many more options there now, I think, and a lot more to work with there in the staff, lefties and righties.
Yeah, so, I mean, there's no reason not to be excited. And, again, I will be very surprised if Auburn's not at least a top 10. I would think
yeah.
they should be a top 5 team preseason next year.
Yeah.
For sure a top 10.
I think most people look at the core of guys that got back for the top 6 pitchers, some of the best position players in the conference coming back, they're going to be looked as a favorite to be a College World Series team and to compete at the top of the SEC for sure.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, so that's really exciting to think about. We're just about halfway done with the Monday edition of The Drive. Again, as Brian mentioned, it is Monday, so Monday Musings will be coming up around the bottom of hour number 2. We'll do that. We'll talk some basketball as well as the Auburn basketball team getting ready to head to Greece for their preseason
yeah.
Trip. I think that's a great opportunity for them. We'll talk about that and more. We'd love to hear from you in hour number 2 of the Monday Drive.
Live from Auburn, the sports capital of Alabama, this is The Drive. The Drive with Bill Cameron on ESPN 106.7 and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390, toll free at 888-382-7502, or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome in to hour number two of the Monday Drive. Hope everybody doing well on this Monday and had a good weekend. I mentioned we went and saw The Odyssey on Saturday. Cool. Yeah, it was. It was good. I mean, I looked and I was a little worried when I saw it was 2 hours and 52 minutes.
Oh, I wouldn't make it.
Well, I had to take a break, but I timed it just at one of the start of one of the fight scenes.
Yeah.
And
still fighting when you got back?
Oh yeah, yeah they were. I mean, it was just around the corner, and I figured, look, I'd seen the first one.
Right.
The first fight's in, it's like, oh, they're pretty impressive, but they're going to show you a good bit. So it's like, yeah, I went, and I figured Odysseus isn't going to die. You know, and he didn't.
Spoilers.
That's good. He didn't die during that fight scene. So I came back, but it was funny. Coming out, so we enjoyed it. Coming out, they're a bunch of college-age guys that are coming out, and they're all pretty excited. They liked it. I mean, yeah. It was exciting, and they said, man, it had a lot of twists. One of the guys, a lot of twists. He goes, yeah, good. He said, one of them said something like, it was a good plot line. I wonder who wrote it. And it's like, man.
Well, let me tell you this story.
You think you're in college? This book's been around for a while. It's not just not just something that's recently been published, but no, it was good. So anyway, that was sort of the highlight of our weekend. Hope everybody is doing well. Bill and Brian here, and we'd love for you to join in. The Drive hotline is wide open. We've got a couple of lines open, 334-321-1390. But Terry is up first. Hey Terry, how you doing today?
Good, Bill. How you and Brian doing today?
Great.
I think anybody who listens to the station knows I'm not a fan of Steve Pearl.
I do know that that's the case.
Yeah. So now the schedule's been released for next year, what do y'all think he has to do to keep the Wolves out of his door on year three?
I think Auburn's got to be in the tournament.
Yeah, I think that's the simple answer,
there's
right?
There's your base. That's right. There's your floor.
I thought you were going to say win 20 games and maybe to go 1-1 with Alabama. I think if he goes 0-2 against Alabama and goes 8-10 in the league, he's done.
Oh, not done. Not after 2 years. I would say, it wouldn't be exciting, but if you're around 500 and you make the NCAA tournament, it's tough to fire a guy in his second year.
Yeah. I'll tell you what, the schedule, though, starting at Texas A&M and then playing Tennessee at home, that's a tough one to start, right? I don't know how good Tennessee is going to be. I'm just assuming they're going to be good again because
you expect them to always be competitive as long as Rick's there.
And Texas A&M's always been a tough matchup for Auburn, although this is a different Auburn that's going to match up well at Texas A&M, but still.
Right.
And Brian, you said it's on the road?
A&M is starting out on the road and then Tennessee at home. So then Georgia at home and then at Texas. So, I mean, you're jumping right into it right away. I know Georgia's probably not going to be picked
super
high, but they're at least – better than they had
been. They're better than they used to be. Yeah. I don't know if they'll be better than they were last year, but they're
actually,
better.
Actually, Auburn should have won, quite honestly.
Yep.
Yep.
I mean, they went to overtime, and they just kind of blew it.
But I love playing Florida,
here.
Mid-February at home. They've got
that's a Saturday, too, right? I believe.
It's February 9th or 10th. I don't know if that's but probably. But that should be – no, that's midweek.
That's a shame.
Because Saturday's the 13th. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So that's either Tuesday or Wednesday.
Alabama gets blown out in both games. What do y'all think?
I mean, that wouldn't be good.
No.
Right? Yeah. But, they end the season against Alabama at home, and you want that to be a big game, right? For not just because of Bama.
Playing for something.
Yeah.
Right. Absolutely.
Yeah, nice. Yeah.
Well, we'll see. I would say I wish him luck, but I don't.
I was going to ask Terry. I mean, I know he feels like Steven shouldn't have gotten the job. And he doesn't feel like he's proven anything yet. But I just wondered, what if? I mean, yes, there have been quite a few situations where the heir apparent or, whatever, the next person, things didn't go as well.
Right.
But it's not always been the case.
Nope.
And, I mean, I think this is a pretty talented roster that Steven has put together. that Stephen and Brian Clomen and staff have brought together.
Very underrated, because I don't think they're going to be picked very high.
I don't either. I think they're going to be better than they're picked,
which
is good. But, I mean, they've got size. They can shoot.
Yep.
If they do that and go out and are 500 or better in the league, I mean, he's talking about you're firing if he's 8-10 in the league. No. But, I mean, if you go 500 or better in this league, you're going to be an NCAA. Yeah. You're going to be a tournament team.
You are.
And you're probably going to win 20 games.
Yeah. And you'll have a chance. I think basketball in the SEC is getting closer to baseball, where we've seen Ole Miss do it, finish near the bottom, or one of the last teams in, or the last team in that year.
Mm-hmm.
We saw with Oklahoma this past year, being well down the standings and still, you know, getting hot at the right time. And I think you're going to see basketball become more of that, right, where it's so competitive, there's so much talent in this league, and it's so spread out that six or seven teams are capable of getting hot in the postseason and making a really good run.
Yeah, I try not to be, you know, just looking through the orange and blue glasses and be realistic. I like what I see. I like what I know about this basketball team.
Like that it has depth. Like that it has so much size and depth at those big positions. Like that they've added more 3-point shooting. Like that they bought back two veterans now, a junior and is Todd's a junior, right?
Yes.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So,
Tahad's a junior. KO's a senior, but I mean, with a 5-for-5, who knows about some guys?
Yeah.
I mean, not all of them, but I mean, there are the possibilities. A lot of the guys that they brought in could have another year.
Never know.
As well. So, and yes, look, there were some growing pains, no question, with Steven last year. But I mean, in the situation where he got put in, where this was, you know, sure, he'd had a part in bringing this roster in, but it wasn't his team.
Right.
A year ago. Now it is. He's had the full offseason. And if you don't think Stephen Pearl was a better coach at the end of the year than he was at the beginning of the year, then I think you need to go back and look at it.
Yeah. Oh, well, I love what he did in the tournament. You know, get Auburn to a championship. I think it was big for Auburn. I think it's big for him. I think people are going to feel a lot better about him and this team and this program going into the season than they would have if it just kind of ended the way it ended.
Oh, yeah, no doubt. And it was a chance. I mean, look, if you go into the NIT and you get bumped in the NIT.
Everybody's complaining more.
Then you could, I mean, they had a chance to have a 500 season if they'd gone in and lost that. But instead, they go in and they win it. And I think that was big. So so we'll see. Yeah, so they're going to be heading to Greece here in just a couple of weeks, because classes get started the middle of August, so they'll be over there and back before classes get started. So that will be I think that'll be exciting. I think that'll be great for them, a great chemistry building. And I mean, you know, Stephen's talked about them bonding and building that chemistry right now, and that's going to give them even more of an opportunity.
Yeah, I think last year's team lacked a little bit there. Mm-hmm. I don't think it fit together as well.
Well, and you were desperately trying to hang on to everybody. I mean, Bruce decides he's retiring. It's like, bam, it's too late for the players to leave. But that didn't mean they didn't think about it.
Right, and that doesn't mean other teams didn't talk to him about it.
Yeah, so, absolutely.
Yeah, it was. They had to work really, really hard to get that team even to where it finished last year. And certainly, as you said, they played so much better once they got into the NIT and made that run. But I look at it as a great learning experience for Stephen, and I looked at it as a coach that grew throughout the season. So we'll see. You know, you never know how it's going to work out. But I have some confidence and some excitement for that program going into this year.
What do you – you know, I'm sure it was no surprise – what did you think about the decision the other day to the NCAA already losing in court as Keyshawn Hall, among some players that have already been granted an injunction which allows them that fifth year of eligibility?
Yeah, how many schools has it been to now?
This would be 5 in 5 years.
Yeah, so yeah, I don't know where you'll land.
Five
out.
For five, that's what they mean, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, I wish him the best, right? He really competed for Auburn, you know, and helped Auburn. Yeah,
somebody's right. Going to get a guy that can score.
Yes.
No question.
Absolutely. But I just don't think I don't think Auburn looks at him as a piece that fits really well for this team that they put together for this upcoming season.
334-321-1390. That's the Drive Hotline, sponsored by Sky Bar. Let's get back to it. And James is up next. Hey, James.
Hey, guys. Long time no talk to.
Yeah, man. How you been?
Been busy, brother. Everywhere I go, busy, busy, busy. That's all I do. I wanted to ask you guys, like, I really thought last week at SEC Media Days, Golish did an outstanding job. Now, I know that that doesn't mean anything when it means to related wins on the field, but I was listening to some of the Auburn podcast and commentators that were covering, and they had a hard time seeing Auburn going anything but maybe 1-3. Some of them even went 0-4 in the month of October. I'm telling you, and I may be in the minority, but if we don't go 3-1 or 2-2, this is a disaster. And it's not a disaster on Golish's part or the team's part, but we've got to make some improvement there. We got to be able to take these home games in October and do something with them. Well,
there's only one
home game, right? That is LSU.
I thought it was two.
No. In October, you've got an open date in there in between the Georgia and Tennessee games, which you've got Georgia, Tennessee, and Ole Miss
and
on the road,
and it's just three
right?
games in October.
Yeah.
Right, so.
No, it's four, right?
Okay.
Oh, you're right, October 31st. Yeah. So it's four games.
Yeah,
but three of them are away.
On that's Halloween
at,
again?
At Ole Miss, yes, October 31st. Yeah,
so, I mean, that's tough because you got three of them on the road, so it wouldn't be a disaster. It wouldn't be exciting, but I mean, what would make it feel like a disaster is if you don't beat Florida. If you're not 3-4-0 to start the season.
If you can beat Florida and Vanderbilt in September, start out 2-0, and then if you go 1-3 in October in the SEC, you're 3-3
in conference, and then
going into
got
a home
November.
Game against Arkansas and an away game against State with a chance to win.
If you're
potentially both of them,
that would give you an opportunity to be 5-3 in conference with Alabama coming up. That gives you a chance at a pretty darn good season.
So Vanderbilt and Florida are key
absolutely
games.
Absolutely, they are
both at Jordan-Hare Stadium.
September is critical.
Yep,
you've got you should have the schedule, which is an advantage for you in September. You better take advantage of that.
Okay. Now I'm with everybody. I understand where thought it was two home games and two away games.
It is a brutal October.
It is tough.
Yeah.
It is tough. Georgia.
So, I mean, if we can do that, personally, if we can win every home game and go into Alabama with all the home games and maybe splitting some of the away games, I don't know if we can beat Georgia. We might. I don't know. I'd like to see.
I still wonder about Tennessee. I mean, Tennessee's got we'll have a new quarterback too. I mean, I just don't know. Tennessee's picked what, 7th?
Yes,
or,
I believe somewhere
7th or 8th. Yeah.
I don't think the Tennessee game is intriguing. I know everybody keeps talking about they're going to have a new quarterback, but it's not like Heupel doesn't coach his quarterback, so.
Yeah,
he's not going to throw him out there in the wolves either. I mean,
no,
he's going to have to get battle tested, but that's not sending him out there uncoached either. So, I mean,
yeah, Tennessee's got Texas at home the week before, so you're going to know an awful lot about that right there.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, guys. I appreciate it. Thanks.
Good hearing from you, James.
Good call. Yep.
Yeah. 334-321-1390.
Tennessee picked 8th. Yep.
Yeah. So, I mean, you wish you had a couple of home games in October. That's what October is. It is really tough. Auburn at least is fortunate they've got an open date there in between Georgia and Tennessee.
They do. So that's good. And Georgia's coming off a night game, I believe. When I looked at that game, was it against Alabama?
Yes. Yeah. Georgia is in Tuscaloosa. They're in Tuscaloosa the week,
that is
the
a
Saturday
night
before.
So, that is an opportunity, even though that's going to be probably the largest disparity talent-wise on Auburn's schedule as far as between Auburn and Georgia. So.
You know, when Auburn goes on the road to some teams, it's interesting. It's tough enough. I mean, it's really tough when you have to go to Alabama, Georgia, Tennessee, and Ole Miss.
Yeah.
But I mentioned the week before Auburn goes to Knoxville, Tennessee has Texas.
Right.
The week before Auburn goes to Georgia, you mentioned Georgia is at Alabama. The week before Auburn goes to Ole Miss, Ole Miss is at Texas.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's not bad.
And that's an early game at Ole Miss.
So when you're going on the road to play those three games, they played a really tough team the week before, and you've played Vandy, open date. Now, you have had LSU, but it's at home before you go to Ole Miss.
Right.
So, I mean, the schedule could be worse, even though that month of October is really, really challenging.
You just want to be that's why okay you, but you, coming
so,
out.
So you can't be looking ahead to October.
Right.
You absolutely can't be, well, when we get there, because you've got to take care of business. And like I said, it starts with the Baylor game. Right. Man, you don't want to lose your season opener.
Not to that team. No offense. I mean, look,
you beat them by 14 right. last year,
and they've lost a good many of their entire roster, and their coaches on
very thin ice.
Two or three or one in the country as far as hot
yeah,
seats.
Yeah, very thin ice. Yeah. So I mean, starts with Baylor, but I mean, then you've got when you get into conference play, and you've got Florida and Vandy coming in. Those are games that you just got.
Yeah.
To be able to win those.
You do. It's just, if you're going to have a winning season, if you're going to break out of this slump, you've got to get it done in September. At the end of September, that's September 18th at home against Florida, a night game, and then against Vanderbilt at home the following Saturday, an afternoon game. Mm-hmm. Those are crucial
They're
games
must
of the season.
Wins. Yep. All right, we'll get to our first break of hour number two. Don't forget, coming up in about 15 minutes, we'll get Brian's Monday Musings. Plenty of time for you to join us, though, before and after that. 334-321-1390. It's the Drive Hotline, sponsored by Skybar, as we continue with the Monday Drive.
War ESPN 106.7.
Welcome back into the Monday Drive. Bill and Brian Matthews here in the studio. Drew at the controls, and Clay is up next on the Drive Hotline. Hey, Clay.
Hey, guys. Bill, I would just really love to think that your audience is learned enough that you can't give a spoiler to the Odyssey.
if I have to give one that mid movie, Odysseus isn't going to die. Yeah.
But the I actually when I was a freshman at Auburn, I wrote a term paper on the Odyssey. Was the book or the story that I wrote a term mm-hmm. paper on. And so don't worry about giving up spoilers.
Yeah, I was gonna tell the guys, just wait for the prequel. I mean, the Iliad to be out before long. It's like, you know. Yeah. So.
But I do love that movie, and my children went and watched it this weekend. I have not seen it.
It's good. Let me tell you, it's good.
If it's good, I want to see it, but I don't want to be. It's like the Sound of Music came to the theater here in Montgomery, and I was so torn, because that is like really my favorite movie in the world.
Oh yeah.
Which a dirt farmer that does heat and air conditioning work, you would never think that was his favorite movie, but it was magnificent at the Shakespeare Festival.
Oh, I'm sure
they do a great job up there. But anyhow, I wanted to ask Brian a couple of questions.
Yeah.
Because he is so good on baseball.
Thank you.
When he does color on the baseball games, it's like it's not climactic, because he's like, oh, he's fixing to throw a curve right here.
Now that is,
here comes the off speed pitch.
Yeah.
Oh, here's gonna be a high fastball, and he's gonna foul it off to the left. And now, it's like, let it play out, yeah. My man.
Yeah, that is Jason Caldwell. He fills in for radio side of it, I believe, at times. It does a great job. And he comes on your show on
– Tomorrow.
Tomorrow, okay. Yeah, he'll be here tomorrow. But I cover baseball closely, too. Jason and I are close friends, and we both have a real love for Auburn baseball. I've been covering baseball at Auburn for 26 years, and I think he goes about 28, 29 years.
But here's my question. There's a couple of guys. Did Drew sign? I know he got drafted.
All of Auburn guys, I believe that got drafted signed, as far as I know.
Now,
there may be somebody in the later rounds that haven't signed yet.
I think all 10 of them have.
Okay.
Play.
And
what about Abe Chancellor?
Yeah, he was out of. His eligibility was.
Is he out of eligibility?
Yes.
I guess he's a guy that could sue now.
Yeah, maybe. but what a great story! What a career he had, and you love to see a guy like Abe. Yeah.
That was the thing about Abe is he came on and towards like the end of the year, he had a couple of really good games that he did some good middle relief stuff.
He sure was. He was terrific.
He played with my nephew. My nephew was not good enough to go to Auburn. He transferred to another school from LBJ.
Mm-hmm.
And I was happy to see him. He had a couple of really, really good innings there, but I didn't know if he got that extra year or not.
Not that I'm aware of. And, you know, he's one of those arms that they have to replace in the bullpen because he was really so good, and a guy that just worked his tail off for several years, not playing much, and then really came on this past season.
Okay. Yeah, that's the only thing that kind of concerns me a little bit about the team next year is the pitching staff, but I trust Coach.
Butch and Teef, and yeah,
yes.
I mean and Fox. I mean, it's
they went out and got six transfers to really boost that pitching staff.
And so. and the other thing is, think about the guys who came on so much this year that are coming back too. I mean,
for the top six,
yeah.
So, you know, LJ Cormier will be back, and you know, I think he can start or be a key reliever.
I think he'll be a starter at some point. Yeah.
I think Jackson Sanders remains in the bullpen as like maybe the best bullpen pitcher in the country with his versatility, his ability to pitch twice in a weekend if you need it, his ability to go five innings or
close,
you know,
he can go anywhere from one to five,
dominate a lineup
more, yeah.
A good lineup if he needs to, mm-hmm. And then you've got two or three starters.
Even Jet signed.
I don't know that specifically. I've just heard that Auburn guys are signing or
What we've heard, Clay, is pretty much the roster is set.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, that's the one coach at Auburn that I trust 100% completely. So if he's happy with it, I'm happy with it. He's a pitching coach.
Mm-hmm.
So you know, I mean, that's his strong point, and is not throwing shade at all. But I'm glad we've got another hitting coach, and maybe we take another approach. And don't swing away with a tie game with two on and nobody out. Maybe we do something a little more baseball centric.
I'm excited about Coach Amirati. I mean, I love Gabe. I do. I love Gabe, and I got a feeling you're going to hear Gabe on some broadcasts.
That'd be great. I'd love to. I love his insight.
I do too. And Bill, you and we remember. He didn't even want to play football, and they begged him to come be the quarterback on the team,
yep.
Because he just wanted to play baseball, and he did it. He is an Auburn man.
Oh, no question, through and through.
But sometimes you just need, after 10 years, you need a different thing. And so I'm looking forward to next year, and hopefully everything will work out. Well, anyhow, and I enjoy y'all so much. I'm so glad y'all partnered with our station down here in Montgomery, and I get to hear you just like I did when I was. I keep making you feel old. But
I am old. That's why I feel old. Oh yeah.
And you and Jim Fife.
Oh yeah.
I listened to those two back in the day myself.
Oh, yeah.
70, 740, whatever y'all was on.
It was 740. Yeah. As a matter of fact, I was going through. I've been fortunate to drop a little weight here lately, and. Was going through cleaning some things out, and my wife mentioned the T-shirt that had the caricatures of me and Jim that used to be on the ceiling. There was one on the ceiling at the Supper Club, but we've still
Jim
got
will
a
talk
couple
about
the
Fife and
absolutely
well,
talk about
I had one of those,
maybe.
Bill.
Yep.
Yeah,
and I would actually give money to have it back, but you just you don't realize at the time what you got, but
no,
anyhow.
You're right.
Y'all keep up the good work.
All right, man. It's great hearing from you, Clay.
All right. Talk to you later, babe.
Yep. 334-321-1390. That's the drive hotline. Sponsored by Skype. I would recommend the Odyssey.
Yeah.
That's what we started talking about there. It was well done. I mean, you look and you go, 3 hours is long. Yes, maybe there could have been an intermission, but you could probably time it like I did.
We need to bring back intermissions, even for shorter movies. I mean, why not?
Yeah, the older we get,
right? Less people are going to movies. Why not?
That's true.
That would be a benefit. Give everybody 15, 10 minutes to, you can go get more concessions,
right.
spend more money.
Buy more concessions.
Right. Mm-hmm. Take care of whatever business you got to take care of.
I think that's a great idea. So when we open
it's up, going to be my platform.
Well, we'll go open up a theater. When are they going to do? Put something needs to
know.
Go in over there.
Yeah, well,
it's a shame. I guess it needs to be something up on your side of town.
Yes.
Aren't there supposed to be some theaters going in up there?
I wasn't aware of that.
I'd heard that there were going to be some theaters up on y'all's side of town.
Okay, interesting.
Yeah, that'll make it a trip.
We need an IMAX closer by. I think the nearest one is it Atlanta? Maybe I don't know.
There's not one in Columbus. I was thinking there was one in Columbus.
Maybe there is. I don't know.
I've never
been to an IMAX theater in my life. So,
is that right?
This is one of those that you probably want to see on IMAX. Right?
Yeah, I think you're right. All right, we'll get to our bottom of the hour break, and then Monday musings when we come back on the other side as we head into the final half hour of the Monday Drive.
VNAU.com. To be a part of the drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email us at thedrive@espnau.com.
Welcome back into the drive. Just a little FYI before we get into Monday Musings. I was just telling Brian I've gotten a couple of emails here while we're on the air. So those of you who opted in for Baylor tickets on your season ticket, regardless of, you know, what type, TUF, faculty, staff, you should be getting an email if you haven't already saying that you will be able to select your seats. That's something a little different because when you went to get season tickets, you were given the option of keeping the Baylor game in your season ticket or getting a refund for the amount of the Baylor ticket. So I opted in. I'm retired staff, so I can still get faculty staff. We've been TUF ever since 1989. So we can get tickets in a couple of different ways, and it's going to be interesting. I mean, usually when you order road tickets, you know, you just take what they send you.
Right.
Or when you got home tickets, you know where your seats are. This one's a little different because it's considered a home game in Atlanta. And apparently Auburn was allotted 20,645 tickets.
Which was crazy at first.
Yes. And I think Baylor was only allotted 3,000. But the demand, according to the email, over 50,000 Auburn, 50,000 seats were requested by Auburn people. So they more than doubled the allotment. But now there will be a time where I will go in and can select my seats. And it's a little different, too. They basically are giving you credit and saying you have this much money in credit. The TUF tickets, part of the season ticket, I guess, was considered $150 per seat. So I have that much money credit, and I guess I could not get the same number of seats. I could upgrade and get a smaller number in a better location or a larger number in a worse location.
There you go.
So it's interesting, giving you some options.
Yeah.
So I got some options. I've just got to remember tomorrow morning and Wednesday morning to go in. But just be on the lookout if you're a person who did opt to get Baylor tickets, you're going to have an opportunity to select those, to select your seats and possibly to upgrade them even. All right, it is Monday and looking forward to what Brian's got for us this week on Monday Musings. First of all, the athletics musings, was there some Jackson Coivin mentioned in there?
I did mention him. I did.
Okay.
So impressed with just his mentality and the way he just handled the pressure of leading going into Sunday with some of the world's best golfers right behind them, you know, coming in strong.
Well, the gallery was like updating him, yelling what Scotty Scheffler was doing.
Thanks a lot for reminding me.
Yeah, appreciate that. But I mean, on nine, he sinks about a 30-foot putt on nine, and then after the tee shot, which didn't look great, comes back and calmly drops a 20-footer or so there to just go ahead and wrap it up and, you know, put away any question is he feeling the pressure? I mean, I know he was feeling it, but he handles it so well.
Extremely talented, of course, but I think that mentality, the poise to handle it is also just as important, right?
No question about it. Because there's so many talented golfers who can make the shots.
Yes.
You know, they can drive it, they can make those shots, but sometimes they feel that pressure.
We've seen a lot of guys fade, especially in the majors on a Sunday, right? A lot. Mm-hmm. I mean, you're just kind of waiting for it to happen to wherever guys, you know, on the leaderboard every year just about. But a great, great tournament by Koivunen and just you know, nice little $1.5, $8 million payday there too.
How about that?
Good for him. What a start to his
Yeah, I mean, he'd only made $93,000 in his first two tournaments.
It's tough, right?
Yeah. I can't even dream that.
But that's awesome, and so excited to be able to follow his career over the coming decades, see what he can accomplish. An Auburn guy out there, and I also wrote about the college football kind of compared to the Odyssey of. That what colleges athletics are going through, trying to, you know, come up to an answer for NIL and the transfer portal.
Well, they're still away from home.
Yes, they are
trying to get back.
Yes, they are still trying to get back. But you know, I mentioned that you know, late last week, John Thune, the Senate Majority Leader, had said it's unlikely that the bill is going to reach the floor. Right. So it looks like it was nearing its death. And then I read today that now he's feeling much more confident after a full weekend or several days of talking about it and reworking the bill. So we'll see.
I mean, it wasn't going to pass as written. There's no doubt about that.
That was true. And it was, you know, ironic that the two organizations, SEC and Big Ten, that spent so much time lobbying and spending money for this, got something that they didn't want, but it looks like they have efforted very, very hard to change it into something they want. And we'll see how that affects other schools and other politicians. And
I'm wondering if they couldn't just really sort of trim it a good bit and have just fewer guidelines, but the main ones to try to keep things, you know, in some kind, you know.
Which is hard to do when you've got all these competing interests.
I know.
Very hard to do. So I'm still very, very skeptical about this ever getting to the floor or ever passing or ever been. And even if it does do all that and becomes a law, it can still be challenged in court on several fronts too. So
it can,
still a long way to go.
But it would be much easier to defend if it were a law than if it's a rule, an NCAA rule.
And then I talked about what the next step was if it doesn't. And right now it appears that the next step is a breakaway. I don't think it's a full breakaway, which I guess kind of scares people. I think it's just a governance breakaway where the SEC and Big Ten and other conferences would
we're going to handle football.
We're going to self-govern. That would take away that monopoly power the NCAA has, which causes them to lose all these antitrust suits. You feel like the SEC separately on its own could set a salary cap, could set some rules and guidelines that then could not necessarily be challenged in antitrust.
The only thing is they couldn't really do it like in agreement
with they cannot.
The Big Ten.
That would be a big no-no.
Yes.
So then you've got that issue. Are you just going to get in wars with other conferences?
Yeah, then what happens when players want to go from this conference to the other conference?
You can have transfer rules in one conference. I don't think you can, you know, have any say-so if a player wants to go from the SEC to the Big Ten and are back again or whatever. Mm-hmm. But maybe we won't get to that. We'll see. We'll see. And then I wrote about COVID. And then for the musical journey, this is a kind of a repeat, same artist, but a different situation. This is one you're going to get. We're going back 39 years, so 1987.
All right. This is Brian's college days after.
Yeah. I'm absolutely 100% in college in 1987, having a great time and not really studying as hard as I should have been. But anyway.
Didn't we all?
Yeah. This is the day an American became one of the first musicians from the West to perform in the Soviet Union, bringing his supermodel wife and family along for the six-state tour.
Yeah. I got it now. It's Christy Brinkley and Billy Joel.
Yep. And I had to throw in that because it could have been anybody.
Like, I was like, who all was early on in Russia?
And some of the other other acts that were in Russia, Elton John, James Taylor, John Denver, Santana, all performed there before the wall came down in 1989, November 89, which was still one of the most incredible moments of my life. Just watching that happen live on, you know, CNN or whatever we were watching.
Oh, yeah.
That was
yeah.
unbelievable. Talked about that. And, of course, that 6-8 tour went to Moscow and Leningrad. They made a live album from it. There's also they shot a bunch of footage from it. So there's also a documentary about it. So there's, you know, a lot of different things to bring from that. But
yeah, I saw the Billy. There was a Billy Joel documentary not long ago that was really, really good.
Okay. And one of the songs he sung, all his good song, but he also sung a cover of Back in the USSR by the Beatles.
Okay. Oh, wow.
Which is perfect, of course.
I didn't realize that.
For him to sing during that. But just wrote a little bit about that trip he made with his wife. I think his daughter was maybe two at the time, two-ish, so really young daughter they had. And sounds like they had a good time. One little incident that happened during it, when they were in Leningrad for a concert, the documentary filmmakers wanted to shine more lights on the crowd to get some shots.
Oh, I bet that.
But every time they put a light on like different fans, the fans would be still and not move.
Probably
they were still
probably
afraid,
hide their heads.
Afraid to be like singled out by, you know, Soviets for having a good time or whatever.
There, I would
yeah.
Think.
So Billy Joel got mad and told him to stop doing that and ended up knocking over his wasn't a full piano, but you know, the little Yamaha quote unquote piano and breaking it. So that was another little incident from that tour.
I hadn't heard that.
Yep.
Oh, that's cool. Billy is someone I have not seen.
Wow. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Well, he's still performing, I believe.
Yeah.
Yeah. Still going strong.
Just hadn't been anywhere around. I missed when he and Elton were playing.
Oh, that would have been incredible. And of course, he's got a great, just so many great songs. Piano Man is a signature song, of course, which I've written about before.
That album is just phenomenal.
And that came out in 1974. And that song is based on when he worked at a, a nightclub. And he took different people. Like the real estate novelist is based on a real estate broker who was a regular at the bar and always had talked about writing a book one day. Of course, I probably never did, but you know how, it's really interesting. Really,
oh, he's a great storyteller.
Yes.
Great storyteller in his songs and has ways of using phrases and words that other people don't get into many songs.
Yeah. And Glass Houses, I think, was one of my first ever albums I owned as a, you know, as a child, and vinyl album. Didn't have CDs at the time. So, a lot of good memories there.
Oh, yeah, no question about it. So, great stuff as always. And that's something that Brian does every week there at auburnsports.com. And it works out great that Brian's in here on Mondays and we can get him to talk about it. And, yeah, he keeps a lot of them are doable. Now, when he goes back, he's gone all the way back into, classical music and
stuff then.
and some of the more modern stuff I've heard of, but I'm not as up on. So
I'm the same. It's just a learning experience for me.
Well, that's cool though. I like learning some things about them, and I feel like I know a lot of these because I was a DJ back in the days, and so you'd read album liners and things, get a lot of the stories. So it's cool when you've got some things though that I hadn't heard.
Yeah. Well, just growing up, the best DJs were ones that told you stuff. Outside of just playing the music, right? They gave you information, tidbits about this.
Little insights some of the connections that there are in music.
Because we didn't have Wikipedia. We didn't have
You didn't,
social
didn't
media.
Have Google.
Right. Exactly. We had Four Union, right?
That's
and
right.
We had DJs.
Yeah, 4244.
Yeah,
that's 4,000. Right. Yeah. So great, great stuff as always. We'll get to our final break of the afternoon. Still time for you to join us if you'd like. 334-321-1390 as we wind things down here on the Monday Drive.
Looking for
AU.com. To be a part of the drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email the drive at espnau.com.
Welcome back into the drive. Final segment here on this Monday afternoon with Bill and Brian, and Uncle Ollie is up next on the drive hotline. What's up, Unc?
Hey, guys. How are y'all today?
Doing fine.
Good. Always enjoy your Monday musings.
Thank you.
Those are great. Hey, so a little Billy Joel trivia.
All right.
We didn't start the fire. Mm-hmm. He lists many people and many events.
Yes, indeed he did.
There's only three people still alive.
Oh, wow.
How about that?
Golly, no, this could take a while as I try to remember as many words as I can from the song.
Well, we know Harry Truman and Doris Day have passed on, yeah. Right? Yeah.
Man, it would take us probably longer than the show for me to get through it. Yeah. who you're right. I mean, I love songs like that where it lists where there are just so many names and names and names and names.
Right.
And you try to go back, and each time I listen to it, it's like, oh, I'll catch somebody else usually in there. Who is it?
It's Bob Dylan.
Okay.
Right.
Chubby Checker.
Oh, I didn't realize. Yeah, I probably would have guessed. Getz. Wow.
Oh, wow. Okay.
I would have probably gotten one out of three, even if I'd gone back and looked at the whole thing. Yeah. I wouldn't have been 100% sure.
Well, a lot of people assume Chubby Checker's already dead.
Yeah.
Second.
I hadn't heard anything on
it. Nobody thinks about Bernard Getz.
Nope.
And, of course, he was in the news for a long time back then.
Mm-hmm.
But I just thought that was interesting. And I can't remember how many. There were many, many, many names.
Oh, yes.
That he mentions in that, but only three are still alive. I thought that was interesting. That's actually probably my favorite Billy Joel song for whatever reason. But
you're right. It's cool to have that many names get named. I mean, there's only one other song, and it's a song from the 70s. Life is a Rock and the Radio Rolled Me.
Remember that?
That just was sung name after name after name for the whole song.
Yeah, yeah. But anyway, that just stimulated me when I heard y'all talk about Billy Joel.
Yeah.
I thought, that's interesting. Yeah.
Yeah, it is.
All right, guys.
Man, that's cool, Uncle Ollie.
Chubby is 84 years old.
Is that all?
Strong. Yep.
My goodness.
Born in 1941. Just looked it up.
Man, so when he did the twist, he was a kid.
Yeah. Yep.
He was a big guy. I mean, you know, the name was legit. I mean, the nickname was legit, which I always thought was funny because there was already Fats Domino and then you had Chubby Checker.
That's perfect.
1960.
So he was
19. He was 18 or 19 when he did that. Because I was thinking he was probably 25 or 30, and that's why I was thinking he was at least 90 now. Yep.
June of 60.
Man, so that's good. I did not know.
Birthday's in October, so yeah, he was just 18, right?
18 years old when he had one of the, I mean, that's one of the all-time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Man. All right, some fun stuff. See, you never know. It seems like every week when we talk about your musings, we get somebody.
New, right, with new stuff, yeah.
Yeah, somebody comes up with something else. So that's right. So you can check out the other song that I was talking about. I'm trying to remember the name of the was it? It wasn't like a Stars on 45 thing. It was a song. Life is a Rock, was the name of the song. But I mean, it lists hundreds of artists from back in the day.
Right.
All right. We've got a minute or so left here on the Monday Drive. Just give us a little preview, Brian. What all's coming up on AuburnSports.com? What are in your plans?
I'm going to keep rolling out the preseason. Previews position-wise for the team and schedule-wise for the different teams Auburn's playing. I think I'm up to Ole Miss. Yeah, Ole Miss game. So
you're almost about to head down Amen Corner heading into November.
I miss those days of Amen Corner.
Yeah,
don't
no
you?
Kidding.
And Auburn used to be really good and make it through Amen Corner.
You needed
corner
to be really
fairly
good to be
good.
Able to
yes.
play Florida, Georgia, and Bama.
Yep.
There,
but
late.
We're going to keep rolling those out, and I know that there'll be plenty of recruiting information. Basketball, pre-camp stuff. JG will keep rolling out his top 30. So all that and more as we get, you know, a week away or 9 days away from the start of fall camp.
Yeah, looking forward to that. Again, I guess we'll get Alex Golish probably next Tuesday.
Yes.
And then practice starting on Wednesday.
Yes.
So looking forward to that. One other thing. I was a little disappointed when we were talking about some You mentioned Jeremiah Kopp. I was a little disappointed that Alex McPherson was third team.
Yes. Yeah, but there are some good
kickers coming back. But when he's healthy,
yeah.
I don't know.
He was 20 of 23, I think it was last year, if I'm not mistaken.
And now he's got the strength back.
Oh, boy. And he looked terrific. Just looked like he was just a new person in a lot of ways compared to maybe a year ago. So I'm so excited to see what he can do. Just a great, great young man.
Yep. Brian, thanks a lot, man. Always, always fun.
Oh, yeah. Appreciate it. Had a great time again.
As Brian mentioned, Jason Caldwell will be in tomorrow. So I look forward to seeing him and talking to you. That's going to wrap things up, though, for the Monday edition of The Drive. Have a good one, everybody. We are out of here.